Good morning. Well, we are winding down toward the end. The end is in sight, and that's what I want to tell you. Our last meeting will be May 3rd, so that's not next week, but the week after that will be our last meeting. And then we will take a break. Summer months tend to be very busy for most women, not just moms of young children, but just most women. You have families visiting, friends visiting, you're going on vacation. There's usually any number of things that demand your attention. So we will break for those months, but then in September, Lord willing, we will resume. So you can be praying for that and knowing that we're looking forward to it as much as you are. But in the meantime, do remember, again, I have been actually surprised, unless you gals have been getting emails and you haven't told me, that either we're just answering your questions, which is a wonderful thought, but we have not had emails from you. So this next week would be the time to get them in if you have things that you really would like us to address or discuss, however you would have that. As you know, we've been, for the past several weeks, we've been looking at raising our children, but kind of a backward view, so to speak. We have, instead of starting out when they're infants, we've been looking at it from the finished product, as if that ever happens with any of us. But, I mean, looking at that time when they're college age, even into their 20s, and what you're hoping that child will look like at that age, and we are constantly trying to make you moms of the little ones recognize that you need to have a thought in your mind of what is the goal, what are you hoping to raise your children to become like, you know, and so that when you're dealing with a little two-year-old having a temper tantrum, you don't just think only of this moment, this, and whether you're tired and whether you should just let it go. But you have this thought of, so if I don't deal with this, how might this look in a 18-year-old or 20-year-old or 30-year-old, you know? These are the times that these behaviors need to be corrected and dealt with. And sometimes, and any mother will say that, it takes everything in you to just get up and do that discipline or handle that situation, whatever it is. But I have personally loved this perspective. I think it's been very valuable. And we're still on the older end of the spectrum. This morning, last week we were talking about the adult kids who are still in your home. And then we got down into the junior high, high school age, which we still had things that we wanted to say on that. So, Paula, why don't you just kind of lead us out in that?
Okay. So, I'm just going to kind of recap what we talked about last week because I think it's important. We talked about how Satan really wants to destroy our families and that we need to remember that his biggest ploy that he has is just to break up our families and to break them down. He attacks our marriages, but I think he also really tries to pull in our kids. And we talked about how junior high almost is almost like the first opportunity that these kids can make choices, friend choices, or they can make decisions that can take them and veer them off on a path that ultimately it seems like a small thing when they're little, but when they get older, that trajectory of the target that we talked about, ultimately raising godly children, that they can really veer them off. And junior high, we just talked about that it's just a tough place for these kids and that we need to really be engaged with them. We talked about also that we should be in partnership with our husbands as we raise these kids. You know, I think that we talked about this a little bit, you know, that we do this as a team tag, because our husbands raise men in our boys, and we need to let them do that. Mm-hmm. Our mommy's heart wants to protect our boys. We just think, wow, that's too tough or that's too hard. But daddies need to toughen the boys up, and they need dad. And the moms need their daddy, too. The girls need their daddy, too. And so we need to let the guys do their thing. Even if it's not our style, but it's really important. One thing that I did want to talk about last time, and we didn't get to it, and that's also because there's a lot of women here that are not married, whether you don't have children or you've passed the age, you know, your children all grown up. But I think it's really important to know that we really can seriously affect the children of others. And God personally has given me many kids that I am second mom to, and that I am very important to them in their lives. And it's something that I take really seriously, because God's given me children whose moms are not engaged in their lives. And they literally call me from across the states or from different places, you know, and it's like, hey, and they call me, this one particular young man, he calls me Moms with a Z on the end. And he's from the Dominican Republic, so he has a little, you know, thing going on. And because the ball broke in his light and he didn't know how to, you know, the actual glass fell out and the little metal coil was still stuck up in there. And he's like, how do I get that out? You know? So I said, well, here's Michael, because he knows Michael's dad, you know, kind of thing. And so Michael's like, okay, you got to turn the main off and blah, 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 you know, you know, and so he's far away, but there's also local children, you know, that high school kids that, because we have an open door policy, we have so many kids in our home, where he actually mentioned to me the other day, because I asked him, I said, you know, how was the 18-year-old life for you? How was that moving out? And I was having this discussion with him, you know, and he said it was very hard, and he talked about that for a minute, but then, you know, I was busy cooking and stuff, and he says, but you know, I always had a home to come home to. And I kind of looked up, and he said it with tears in his eyes, and it really moved me, really touched me, because I realized, you know, I touched this young man's life. He's part of our family, and we don't always see that because he's always funny and joking, but I could see how important that we were to him. So don't take that for granted. Really pay attention. If the Lord gives you these extra kids, we can totally love on them. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you're 30 or 40 or 50 or 60, you know, that we can make a difference and impact in these kids' lives too. And that's, I think it's really important. We also talked about last week what's vital to have in place. Judy mentioned it a little bit. We talked a lot about, you know, that when they're little, that we instill the love of God in their lives, that they have that when they carry them through the junior high and the high school years. That's just embedded in who they are, that they're disciplined, and that we talked, you guys need to keep up with that discipline. You need to win those little battles that they put up to you, that they understand that discipline is something that they carry with them also for the rest of their lives. They obey the rules of the road when they're driving. If it says 30, let's go 30, you know, and all those kind of things, those are things that you're working on now that make a difference when they're young. The respect of elders and their personal self-control, and that they are obedient to you, even if they're 25 and they're still living in the home. You know, that this is what we do, and that they obey that. That's important. And ultimately that we trust them and that they trust us. Huge things. So we kind of move on a little bit. We talked a little bit about the whole dating. And that we set the tone in the home early, that we don't joke about boyfriends when they're little. Oh, your little boyfriend, you know, this type of thing. I think we do it innocently, but I think you're setting the wrong tone really early on, that we really, you know, let's watch Pride and Prejudice movies. You know, we were talking about that. My girls are like Pride and Prejudice girls, you know, and they love those movies, but it's like, why not? Why not set that bar that high, you know, and make it part of who you are as a family. You know, we don't discuss boyfriends. We don't you discuss it, but it's not part of who we are as a family until they get much older. That your discussion is, you know, when you guys get much older in high school, and, you know, that it's set, that tone is set, rather than making it kind of normal when they're little. Our dating age was nothing until 16. It's like it's not even negotiable until you're 16 years old. Debbie said there was none for their family, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember we talked about that. Did you have an age for no dating with yours?
I'm 16. 16. Although we're in Vanuatu, it wasn't much of an issue.
That's one way to do it. Just go to Vanuatu.
Virgin Island.
Yeah. But I think, you know, we talked about the fact that you know, we want to separate our children out from the world. And the way that you do that is you make it normal in your home on the way that that looks, you know, that it looks normal. The thing that helped us tremendously by normalizing this way of thinking is really making our church, making this church our base. You know, all our friends go to Athey Creek. All the kids' friends go to Athey Creek. They go to the college group things. They go to the high school events. They go to the things during the summer. And so that this mindset that you're trying to create is normal in your lives because you make it normal by hanging out with the people that you just surround yourself with people that think the same way. And so you become like-minded. That's their normal. And then going to school, it's like, oh, that's what they do, but this is what we do. You know, that you make their normalcy by doing stuff at church.
Yeah. One little thing I was going to add on, something that is also a really neat thing to plant in your mind now, and that is to get your kids going in service as soon as possible, mm-hmm. helping out with Sunday school or helping out in the nursery
yeah.
or cleaning up after church or whatever it is. And something that I think a lot of times you miss if you don't allow your kids to get involved in that is that they grow up thinking that all of this was created just for them. But if you get them involved in the process of taking out the trash and doing all that kind of stuff, it just takes the, you know, puts the humanity of it back in, and it gives them an opportunity to serve in a way that just gets the self thing off the shelf for a minute and yeah. helps them look at others. And that's, it's such a neat thing because then just like what Paula said, all their friends are also doing that same thing.
Yeah.
And then that's the group that's created for their fellowship as they're growing up. It's just been a really neat thing for our family to experience that. So just wanted to share that.
Yeah. It just, you know, it also just reminds me, sorry for a second. Reminds me, you know, in our home, like, you know, my mom is here. She just came in from Arizona because of the wedding in a week. And, you know, so they arrived on Monday, and then bless their hearts, there was 14 of us at the dinner table on Monday night because everybody kind of showed up, you know. And so they got, you know, kind of the immediate thing, you know. But I'm sitting around the table, and there's Donovan and Kaipo, and there's Paul and all these kids, and they've spent the last years and years growing up together in college group, in high school group even, you know. And here's Donovan that married Amanda, and they were with each other in a high school group and college group. And Kaipo marrying Jenny now, and these kids are all sitting around the table, and they all love each other, and they all like-minded, and they all think the same way. And what a joy that is as a mother to sit there and look at these kids because they all hold each other accountable. And it's a great thing. So it's like almost a family within a family type of the environment too. And that's, I really, really have loved my kids being able to grow up in church and make that a normal environment for them. And it's really, really important. Because, you know, if Kaipo and Jenny come to our house and no one's home, they go next door and they sit in Don and Sandy's house, you know, and they wait for us to come home. Paul does the same thing. Or they say, hey, Kaipo, Jen, or can you come to the house? Because, you know, Paul and Hannah are home alone, and they don't want to be home alone in our home. And so they help each other out. They tag team, and they figure it out, and it's all normal. There's no one saying, you guys are weird. You know, why are you doing that? Because this is the tone that's set by church. So it's really cool. I think it's a very good way to go. I also wanted to get in, Marna, you had something that you were going to say in there. I don't know if you remember. It says Marna here. I think you had something, maybe not thinking of anything, but, sorry,
yeah,
putting you on the spot.
Than me.
Yeah.
No.
well, we met last night, so she probably had something, but anyway, you know, that we also, are fully aware, with high school years and things, and this is an example for you. We had this discussion last night, is how much do you teach your child ahead of time and you take away their innocence? And it's a huge balance of, you know, how much of the world do you share with them, and how much do you kind of want to protect them a little bit, you know? But the thing is, my kids all went to public school. I know Debbie's kids all went to public school. And so, you know, when you are in a Christian home, but you send them out in the world, they kind of do need to know what's going on. and that we educate them fully about alcohol and that drugs and cigarettes, and don't ever take a pill from anybody, you know, for anything. If you have a headache or whatever it is that they say, oh, well, take this, you know, that they understand those things when they're out. And that we, you know, that we make sure that we teach them that they go out there and that they're prepared, because it is out there. An example that I shared last night with Judy and Marna is that, you know, Jenny with her school friends went to a party. And I know these girls. They've been in my home and I totally know them. But they went to a party, and within 20 minutes after I had already dropped Jen off, she calls me. She says, Mom, you have to come pick me up. And I'm like, what? She goes, Mom, you have to come pick me up. I'm like, okay, you know. And so I went out there, and I went, and she's walking with her girlfriends on the street. She's not even in the house. I'm like, Jenny, what's going on? She goes, the neighbor boys came, and they put alcohol in the punch, and they're busy smoking, and they're bringing stuff into the house, and I'm just not comfortable. I want to go home. Like, you betcha, you know. And then it's like any, you know, and then all those girls, like five or six girls, came into my car and I took them all home. You know, and I really appreciate that. And we do need to make sure that we teach our kids those things, you know. But like Marna said, you know, was it Marna? I think it was you saying that, you know, how much, I mean, we still want to keep them innocent in some respects. But on the other hand, we need to also be wise as mothers to show our children that they understand what's going on a little bit on the outside world.
And No, I think because that's, you know, the verse is Romans 16:19. Be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. And Matthew 10:16, be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. And I do think, you know, of course, you know, the world has gone all through history, gone through times of bad times and good times, you know, but we're, I think, seen a bad time in our day and age. But I think that's kind of, at least kind of what Tad and I concluded, is that, you know, when they're children, that's the only opportunity in their whole lives for innocence to take hold, for them to learn to love innocence. And innocence does such, it creates such good desires in the soul. I mean, you look at these precious children who are abused, whose parents don't care about them. You look what happens to their little souls. I mean, it breaks your heart, you know. But, oh, I get it. Sorry, I'm supposed to do that. But you know, so we just had a real thing about really wanting to protect that innocence and put what was good and teach them to love the Lord and let them see us loving the Lord, you know, so that, because, you know, very often, you know, it's not what's taught, it's what's caught. But there's a certain age where it is protecting them to protect their innocence, and a certain age where it's protecting them to educate them about the world. And of course, that's, you know, checking with your husband how you guys want to go about that. You know, there isn't necessarily one perfect way, but I don't know. I think that.
You were sharing about your walk in Vanuatu.
Oh yes, and that in the mornings in Vanuatu before Amy came here to go to the States, we would get our dogs up. We would get up about 5 a.m. So if you can, I'll give you a little pleasant picture. 5 a.m. It's gorgeous this time of year. The parrots come and eat at our papaya tree in front of our living window. And you hear, I mean, there's this moment of silence. I mean, there's a silence all night. And then there's this moment, all the birds and all the bugs start going all at once. It's just one moment silent, one moment's total noise. It's absolutely beautiful. It's fun to wake up to. But anyway, that has nothing to do with what I'm saying. Just thought I'd share that with you. But we'd leash our dogs, and we'd go up to what we call the white road. It was the big road. John and Amy would run, and I would walk, and we'd just get our morning exercise, and so we could get an early start on school. Goodness gracious, we don't get up at 5 o'clock here to do that. But the sun's coming up, and it's warm there. So, but all that to say, after a while, our guys that we live with talked to Tad, and they said, you know, we know that when they go up there and run, it looks like there's just nobody around, but there are people watching. That's just how it is. I mean, we had the experience when we lived in Vanuatu the first time. It was absolutely quiet. You see no one, but we would smell body odor wafting over to us. You know, people, and then when Tad was clearing, there were worn pathways right behind a tree, you know, but people would be peering and watching us. But the guys said, there would always be a group of guys and they could easily take out Marna and John, you know, and do whatever they want with Amy. So it's really not a good idea for them to go up there on the road. So then after that, I mean, we have to respect that and listen. They know their culture. After that, our exercise is confined to behind our property, going back and forth, back and forth. But all that to say, you know, just the importance of that listening, encouraging, you know, that even no matter where you are in the world, there's always something. And that is difficult, I think, for our kids to have to live with those restrictions. I know that, you know, can get a little bit chafing, but it's, you know, for their protection. So, and then there is this? No, this is probably what Paula was referring to earlier, and I wasn't with it. But talking about like the kids going to school and what your family goes through and experiences, and our kids always went to public school as well, mainly because as Joel was about to go to kindergarten, the homeschool movement among Christians was getting really big, and all of my friends were jumping on, and I was saying, not me. My children need an education, and I'll take them to school. I know that we'd be playing games and having fun, and oops, didn't do any school today. So my kids went to school. But when we went to Vanuatu the first time, there was no choice. I had to homeschool. I cannot believe the Lord just gives you the best surprises in your life. I loved it so much that when we came back to the States the next year, I was all gung-ho wanting to do it. But Dad said, no, no, no. And this is just for our family. Every family has to pray. You go with what you and your husband want. But he said, for our kids, you know, they need to be in the world and not of it. I want them in school. I want them to have friends. I want them, you know, just to learn the things that you can learn being in school. So, and of course, and that kind of goes with what Paula and Debbie were saying earlier, you know, our mom's hearts. You know, I think moms are so much, both moms and dads are concerned about heart and character, but I think we definitely lean more towards the heart and what they're going through. Dad leaned toward the character, you know, because they both have their strong areas. So it's like a really good thing to have to say, okay, honey, that's right. You know, and those first years back, that first year back, every time we've been back, when the kids go back to school, is always a hard year because we live in such an innocent environment. But, most particularly when Joel went to Wilsonville High School, he was 16 years old, and just due to circumstances, his freshman year had been missed because we were in Vanuatu and the school books didn't come. So he went to Wilsonville High School, and, you know, he's 16 years old in class with freshmen, and of course the things you hear at school, the things you see, and of course he is always thankfully been one to stand up strong for what he believes. So then that sets you apart too, but not too much. So all that to say, that first year back was a tough year, and I would have loved to pull him out and homeschool him. But again, my husband was saying, you know, this is where he's learning how to live in the world of it. And this is going to be a hard year for him, but we just got to teach him to put his hope in the Lord. And I know from the little things I've shared about Joel, he's never been a mama's boy and he's never going to be a mama's boy. He wasn't a mama's baby. I mean, we had fun. I loved him, but he was not one of those clingy kids. He was leaning out to go play, you know? But all that to say, that year, you know, of course he stayed up later. He's older than John and Amy, but very often he wanted to just talk about what he saw and what he heard at school. And it was a difficult year. He did not know one soul, but we just encouraged him, you know, put your hope in the Lord. I mean, he's heard that his whole life, but when your kids go through those hard times and you're encouraging them, put your hope in the Lord, he will never fail you when you put your hope in him. He never will fail you. You know, we were able to just encourage him in that, but they go through the hard times, and that's when those things sink roots and it becomes part of their own life and their own character and their own walk with the Lord. But before we had moved up here, the Lord had given me these verses in Deuteronomy 6. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a land large with flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God and serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. And down in verse 20, in the future when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God? Tell him, we were slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand And then down in verse 24, it says, the Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. Sorry. As I get emotional when I read that, because the Lord so specifically gave me that verse. And all that year, you know, it's so when your son asks you. And Tad and I were able to share with him stories. When the kids were little and we were in Newburgh, the Lord took us through a season of one financial hardship after another. But it was definitely the Lord leading us through that season, and he came through every time. But we didn't ever let the kids know that we were going through a financially hard time, because that creates such instability in kids. But now, at that time during that year, we were able to share with Joel, remember this? Well, this is what was going on. There was a desert. We saw it. There was no hope in sight. And the Lord kept encouraging us, against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's in Romans 4. But all that to say, I'm going on way too long. During that year, he had a hard year. The next year, the Lord just could not stop pouring out the blessing on him. He had all these friends who came and stood with him as a Christian. He was co-captain of his JV football team. His coaches loved him. I mean, it just, he had Bryn came and they started a lunchtime Bible study once a week, and all these, I mean, it was a hard year, and then fruit, you know. And anyway, not too long, but all that to say, the Lord always comes through. You know, he just always comes through. So there you go.
We had pretty much the same experience, because I don't even know if I've mentioned this already, but we used to live in San Diego, and then in about 99, we literally lifted and shifted, and we moved to Holland, and we lived in Holland for 2.5-3 years. And I put my kids into Dutch schools, and so they are now bilingual, and the kids do really well. But then we had made a promise to them that after 2.5 years, we'd move back to the States. And so we did. We moved back to the States, and we went through the same thing that Marna went through, because my kids are enough out of the American culture for 2.5 years at that age that they come back in. They have no idea what's on TV, and, you know, they don't know what the TV shows are, and all the things that are important, you know, to high school kids or junior high kids are totally not important to my kids, because my kids have just gotten, you know, back from Rome, and they saw the Sistine Chapel, and, you know, and they got to walk through the catacombs, and, you know, all these kind of things. So they did all these other things, and they come back into this culture. But the girls are a little easier, but the boys, same thing, very difficult. And Paul had no friends his first junior high year, none. And it was a very difficult season for him, too. And we did the exact same thing. As like, Paul, we know that the Lord's going to bless you if you just wait. Just wait it out. And he did. It took him a year before a couple of Christian kids finally took him in and embraced him. And those kids have been, you know, well, you guys know AJ Eaton. I mean, he's been Paul's friend now for 10, 11 years. And a great bunch of kids. So the same thing, just really encourage your kids just to wait upon the Lord, even if they're at that age, that the Lord will bless them. And he will bless them. And it does happen that they don't rush into making, you know, weird friends or do something wrong. That those things they can learn even at that age. And it's an important thing to learn for them in character building. And that as parents, we stand behind the kids and do that. I'm going to move on a little bit onto the actual dating and engagement. And they're super fun years. You know, we were just talking earlier in the office. It's like, you should see my house. It's like the love boat, you know. And there's Coco and Jenny, and there's Paul and Hannah, and then Amanda and Donovan are all, oh, baby, you know. And it's fun. It's fun when your kids do it right. You know, you see the joy and the fact that they're making the right choices and they are doing it right. And so when you look at them, it's just like, this is good. This is a good thing. They're making good choices. You know, Kaipo's going to be walking out of here next week, you know, with her. And I cannot be happier. People ask me, how are you doing, Paula? And it's like, how can I not be full of joy on this? It is a huge thing, and I'm so happy for them, you know. But we still have to go through those years of dating, and we still have to know what that looks like, you know. The number one thing is that the children always adhere to your family rules, even if they're dating, right? Most especially if they're dating. We were very, very fortunate because most of the guys that were in our home were tied into what they call the guys' house. And there's about 7 or 8 guys that live at the guys' house that are kind of under the wing of Athey Creek. And Jeff set the rules, no girls in the house past 11 o'clock. And, you know, all these rules kind of were set. And it was really cool for us because they kind of blended in with our family rules too. And it made it really easy. But we did have rules in the home. You have to have rules in the home with dating. And it really is for their own protection and for, you know, this is what we do as a family. You guys need to stick with this. The guys did ask our permission to date our daughters, and we expected that, you know. And Paul asked permission from us if he could date Hannah before he actually went to Hannah's parents to ask if they could, if she could date them, you know. So that you know, it's just this understanding that we had. So you stay connected as a family. You do it together. You know what's going on, you know, kind of like no surprises type of thing. The rules.
Just to fit in real fast. I think part of, just to underline what Paul is saying, is that all of that is possible in her family because her kids are familiar already from day one when they were born with the idea that the parents are covering for that child and to help not undermine and not be the enemy to Paul or to Amanda or whatever the situation, but just to help really strengthen and ultimately give them peace in their life. I mean, really, that's what all of us want, is just for our children to walk with the Lord and to have a joyful, really wonderful life. So none of that would have been possible if there would have been mayhem in their home and never any boundaries. And the idea of, you know, borders and just rules, if all of that was so foreign, then this whole thing would have just not been possible. So that's why we want to encourage you always that any effort you make now when your kids are younger, there's just going to be fruit later, and it's sweet fruit. It's mm-hmm. so sweet fruit. You're just going to love it. But you have to do it, and you have to be faithful every day. You know, the tree just doesn't grow on its own. You got to help a little bit of fertilizer, a little water, you know, and it's so cool. I love it how the word gives us, I mean, Jesus did this. He gives us such good examples in the vine, you know, and what is that? We plug into that vine. It's Jesus. You know, that's what their home's done the whole time. Jesus, he's the one that we've been grafted into that vine. And so the kids have this whole beautiful fruit that's growing out of just the result of, it's just from the Lord, and it's so good. But you want to get in that garden. Mm-hmm. Make it be a part of your life. That's why we're always encouraging you to be in the Word and to have the Lord be the center of your life. Yeah. And that's going to come out in your kids later.
Thank you. So, yeah. So Paul did have a girlfriend in high school. Was a little younger. He had asked permission, and we were a little like, okay. And he dated her. She was a lovely girl, but she was Catholic. And at some point, he just realized in his own mind, he's like, you know, I realize that I'm unequally yoked with this girl. And that's what he told her. And so that ended. And they're still really good friends, and she's actually come by. And in fact, she's had dinner when Hannah was even there, so that was kind of fun. But it's important.
Hannah's not smiling really.
It was fine. It was fine, huh? Yeah. So they're still friends, but sorry. She did it. I didn't. So.
I like to mess with Hannah because she's so sweet.
But, you know, that the children also understand for themselves that you guys need to be equally yoked, that they don't even start dating someone really. I think Paul learned that lesson, and it was a good example even to his sisters, you know, that wasn't a really good plan, and he understands that. You know, it's really good that they figured those things out early, and that he would then waited until he knew that he knew that he wanted to date Hannah. So that, you know, that we encourage, and sometimes in this particular situation, we did step back and think, okay, Paul, well, we'll see what happens. And he came to the right conclusion himself. So that was that turned out really well. We were very blessed with that. But, Debbie mentioned it, and I know Marna feels exactly the same. You stay 100% invested in what your children are doing. I already knew that Jenny was crazy about Kaipo before Kaipo even knew about it, you know, because she just like, Mom, I really like this guy, you know, and because you have that relationship with your kids, it's so important that you can have those discussions with them, that you can have those late night, you know, and even if they are thinking that they really like someone, that it's safe enough that they can tell you. You know, that nobody else needs to know, but I have this understanding with my daughter that she really likes this guy. And it was a neat thing to be able to share with her. And then to see Kaipo realize it too. It was really fun.
I thought, you know, the communication that Paula had there with Jenny, you know, that wasn't just something that she told her at 18. No, you can talk to me about things. You know, I think that's one thing that we've emphasized is the importance of good communication from an early age. And we had just talked about this last night, that when your kids are little, it is so important to teach them to be respectful. You know, they, at a later time in life, they have to make their own decision to honor their parents. But you teach them when they're small, mm-hmm. that honoring their parents is not an option, you know, when they're little. But as our kids got older, you know, we felt the need, you know, to let them know that being respectful, you know, it doesn't mean you don't get to express yourself. We really wanted them to know that they could do that with us. And even as Paul is saying, that when they open up and express themselves, they need to know it's going to be safe, mm-hmm. that we're not going to zing back at them or get angry. And I gave the guidelines to my kids. If you have anything you want to talk to me about, once they got a little older, I said this, you can talk to me about anything. You can say anything you want to me. If there's something that's bothering you or something we need to talk through, but let's both care about the other's well-being, and let's both care that the other one comes out of the talk in a peaceful way and in a good way. You know, it's not a good thing to come dump your words and run and just leave the other person stunned, you know, but to teach them at that early age, kind of even how to communicate with you. But it really works, because as they've gotten older, and when hard times come or whatever, they really can talk. They can be free and open. And, of course, that's what you desire as parents. And it's so good for them, too. It's kind of like the open avenue for your teaching. So, anyway.
So, and then the other thing is the whole purity thing. Everyone's going like this. You know, you really have to, and Brett does a fantastic job, I mean, up front, the kids understand that to stay pure and to walk down the aisle and to leave, and that the two shall become one flesh for the first time, is a huge, big thing. And, you know, that it's, there's a, you know, Jen, Kaipo got his first kiss when they got engaged. And, you know, and that's the way it was. And you know, and I just think that's amazing. I think that's really cool. And it's not something, you know, that you as a family, you aspire to that, you know, that you don't, that you make that part of your family. And that certainly with being reinforced here is a huge, big thing. We have kids that come into our house that are also dating. And I've actually had to talk to kids. And it's like, you know what? You cannot do that on my home. And because, you know, there's like, oh, it's movie time, let's grab a quilt and go sit under the quilt together. It's like, no. You know, my kids don't do that. You are not going to do that. And for the longest time, for over a year, you know, Kaipo would come over. Jenny would roll herself up in a comforter, and she would be burritoed up. And I'm like, yeah, you know. And, I mean, not that I don't trust Kaipo, because I totally trust Kaipo. But, I mean, it's those kind of things that the girls understand. You know, we can sit together, but let's not be over-affectionate. Let's not do those things. And it's not something like, it's not like I have to go to my kids and say, you may not do that. It's they understand. We just don't do that. That's not that we're just not going to do that until you get married type of thing. And you set that tone early in your home. This is the standard. This is what we do. And, you know, there is never an occasion when I can walk into a room when you see this and you're like, what? what? You know, no, we're not going to do that, you know. And I always say, you know, my thought is, if Pastor Brett can walk in this room now, then we're good, right? You know, and that was kind of my bar, you know, when I see the kids together. You know, and it's not like they're not sitting next to each other on a couch and they're being really sweet. Or there's been times when they're lying on the floor and we're all there, you know, next to each other holding their hands and watching a movie type of thing. I mean, there's, you know, but the kids know. They know what the rules are. They need to stay by them, and they stick with it, and we're totally happy with what goes on. But there's a lot of kids that come into my house, and I was like, no, you know, it's not that. What you're doing is not acceptable in my house, and that they understand that when they come in as well. So we definitely have boundaries, and I've told my girls to, I said, every kiss that you've given or anything that you've given another boy, is you can never take that experience back. You know, it's given for good. And really encourage them. It's like, you know what, save it for the man that you're going to marry. And that they understand that that is a totally amazing, beautiful thing to do. And that it is normal. And the same thing again, because normal is Athey Creek, normal is church, normal is college group, normal is the guy's house, normal is these, that it's okay. And it makes it great. Just really, really important. Communication. It's just, I can't say more what Marna just said, what Debbie just said, that you keep your communication lines open with your girls and even with the boys. At some point, you know, Paul goes over to Michael. That's the way it needs to happen. But with the girls, you know, we have wedding nights that need to be talked about, you know. And as a mom, we should talk to our girls and say, this is the mechanics, you know, this is what you can expect, and that we can have those discussions with our girls. That it's important that they don't go leave and that, you know, that they're totally taken by surprise on things that they just don't know. You know, those relationships that you're working on now, that honesty, that you're telling the truth, and that trust that you're building up with your little ones takes you all the way through these years. And makes these years that I'm talking about really amazing, really, really fun. The fruit and of the labor of what you guys are doing now, the every single mundane thing that you guys are doing now, the diapers and the dishes and that laundry. I mean, I read on Facebook, you know, 10 piles of laundry on my couches. And, you know, I remember those days. My mom remembers those days. I mean, it's just, you know, but that your number one thing is that you stay invested with your kids. You pour into them. And that when these days happen and the seasons that I'm in now, Debbie's heading right into it, Debbie and Marna's right behind, that this season is a total season of joy. And you do see the fruit of your labor. You really, truly do. And thank the Lord for it. And I have some scripture verses because I know, and I've said this before, that we raise the kids, you raise them on your knees. It's not because I'm such a fantastic mother and I did everything right. I really believe with all my heart that the Lord gave me everything that I needed every single day to raise these kids. And He's doing the same for you. That you tap into that. And that's why we started it from the very beginning, about your personal relationship with the Lord and your quiet time and those tough seasons that, you know, our friends shared, that you guys stay so plugged into the Lord that you really have the relationship with Him, that literally every morning when you wake up, before you put your feet on the ground, that you're praying for wisdom for that day, that you're praying for the endurance, and that you're praying to raise these children right, and that you invite the Lord into that every single moment of every day. And I have some scripture verses for that. And I have Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, for I will help thee. He will, we ask Him, in Deuteronomy 7, 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them, and that love him, and that we are to love him and to keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. We need to stay plugged and stick into the word. Psalm 32, 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. He will guide us and he will help us. The biggest thing we need to do, on your knees, have to have those merry moments before your Martha days. Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And we talked about having quiet times, and sometimes getting up that much earlier is difficult. But you can tap into him 24/7, anytime you want. And when you're nursing, and when you're sitting, and when you're in the grocery store, and you're driving in the car, or wherever you are, that you tap into that resource. And then I have 1 Corinthians 2:9. But it is written, the eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for him that love him. And God has great things prepared for your family. And the years of junior high and high school, they don't have to be a nightmare. They really don't. In fact, they're super fun. They're super, super fun. They're great years. And really that ultimately that we've talked about this, that as mothers, that we just honor the Lord by what we, he's given us these kids, and that we raise them rightly, that we do this right, and that we turn them around into the world the best that we could have done, and that it wasn't a part-time thing, that was a full-time thing that we did. Because when they walk down that aisle, you know, I have 7 days left with Jenny living in my home, you know, and then I'm done. And it's an amazing thing. You don't think about it when you're wiping a little bottom, but you do think about it when you're sewing her hem of her wedding dress, or you're making her veil, you know. It's a big deal. It's a huge big deal.
I just love taking it in because it's just the sweetest.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. I mean, I don't know how else to more to say that, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Every single minute that you spend with your children is so important, and has the outcome for what they choose when they're adults. Time you never ever will regret. That time you spend with them and you invest with them. So don't get tired of doing the right thing. Don't get weary of doing right. Just follow up. Discipline. Make them respect. Make them do the things when they're little, so that when it gets older, it becomes a joy and it becomes a really cool thing.
And I think one thing that we had touched on yesterday when we were talking is that importance of respect. But, you know, there's the teaching that we do with our kids that matters so much. But again, the developing of the relationship where there's trust. And, you know, I just remember when Joel was little, I used to listen to James Dobson like every day. I felt like I was a sponge and needed to soak it in. You know, but I remember commonly one of the things that he would talk about is that girls who have difficulty in high school with staying moral usually do not have a good relationship with their dads, and that it's really important to a girl's emotional well-being to have a good relationship with her father. And also, you know, that there are implications. It's important for boys to have a good relationship with their mother as well. But I think that's one of those things, even as moms, when your kids are little, we are such a facilitator at times of our children's relationship with their father. And it matters so much when they're looking at you, treating your husband with respect, And that when he's speaking, you're not interrupting. You know, that he's a person that has worth and value in your lives and that you look up to him. And that's one of those things. No one knows why a man doesn't deserve to be respected more than his wife because you live with him. But the word says to respect him at all times. You know, he needs that respect. But it's so good for our hearts, too, to deny our flesh and show respect whether we feel like it or not. And our children learn, where they really do learn from that. And anyway, I just thought that was important to say. And that is one of those things I've just been so thankful. Because Tad, on his own, he would have had a good relationship with Amy anyway, because that's just who he is. But it does matter, you know, for how the mom treats a dad. Because we do have a kind of an inside track into their hearts when they're young, you know, and it does matter how we influence their thinking in that area. But it was really sweet because Amy's going to be an RA next year, and there are some things that she's wanting to do a little differently for her floor than has been done in the past. So she's, you know, going to present this to the girls who are returning to the floor as well as the freshmen coming. But so she's been really praying about it, and the Lord kind of gave her a little block of verses, you know, just she felt like He was confirming it, and then it was so sweet because she called and talked to me several times, and I said, but be sure and talk to your dad. He's so good at this stuff. You got to talk to your dad. So she called and talked to Dad, and Dad didn't know the verses, and he said, well, you know, Amy, I'm thinking about these verses in Ephesians about being imitators of Christ, and it was the very same thing. But I just, you know, I guess that's just an example of, you know, when it's good, I mean, it really is good. And how the Lord used him as her covering to speak those very verses to reaffirm that she was on the right path, you know. But anyway.
Just to reiterate what Marna was saying about the good relationship with your kids. So a cautionary note for the younger moms, please don't confuse that with being an enabler for your kids. And one of the things that as moms and dads that we see all the time in the counseling room is the sad end to parents who just were not brave. They weren't brave enough to stand up to their kids. And you have to have some backbone. You have got to have backbone. And I think, again, it all goes down to your walk with the Lord. Because if God has entrusted you with this little individual to walk with day in and day out, then certainly he's called you to uphold to the best of your ability the standards of God's word in your home. And that means that there are consequences to actions. And that means that you have to be tough. And when you draw a boundary, and like Marna, I listened to James Dobson a lot too when my kids were little. And I remember him, it's such a visual thing, but I remember him saying, so when they put their big fat toe across that line, you meet them right there and you let them know that that toe was going back the other way. You know, like it's just, you have to be on your guard all the while. And then before you know it, 2 years old becomes 3 years old, and 3 years old becomes 8 years old, and 8 years old becomes 12, and then 15. And then all of a sudden, Brookie's going to be 21 this year. And it just goes by in a minute. So every day, to the best of your ability, just pour out your heart before the Lord, and then just allow the Lord to work within you every step of the way. It's the best way that reaps big rewards. And like Paula was saying, you know, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season you will reap if you don't lose heart.
Love that. And it's time for us to conclude this. So I think with the things that have been shared today, it's wonderful when we have the opportunity to just gather together and pray for one another. And I would encourage you to do that in the time we have right now. And then when you have finished praying, enjoy just visiting with one another. Again, maybe you have some people in this group that you think, you know, I've never talked to them. Maybe this is the morning you should just kind of walk into another section and introduce yourself and meet some new gals. That is one of the blessings to me that has been coming out of our gathering together, that we've had an opportunity to meet and visit with people that we never would have gotten to under normal circumstances. So use this time to pray for each other. And let me just close first. Lord, I do thank you for just the opportunity you've given us to gather in your name, Lord, to be able to walk out the very word of Titus 2, Lord, to be those older women who come alongside the younger women. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to do that. And so, Lord, I just pray right now for each gal here. Some are mothers, some are not even mothers yet, some are grandmothers. But Lord, you have a calling on our lives, and it's a high calling. And Lord, we want to walk in that which you have for us. We want to know you better. We want to love you more. And we want to then be able to share that with others who are on the path with us. So Lord, thank you for this opportunity. And even now as we gather together, Lord, would you just put on the hearts of the gals the things that they know they would love to have prayer for. And then let us gather together to pray for each one, Lord, knowing that you are a God who listens and you are a God who cares. In Jesus' name, amen.